Thank you, Steve. I apologize for the glitches in the computer system. That was my fault. I made a few last-minute changes this morning. It was my plan to blame the fact that my parents have been away for 2 weeks and I'm starving, but I won't do that. They come home this week. So today we're going to look at Deuteronomy, and the idea is to give you a bit of an idea of what Moses is trying to tell the people in Deuteronomy. And then we're going to look at this amazing prophetic promise he tells us in chapter 18. And by the end of it, we're going to try and bring it all together and hopefully see how it all fits in. But before I do that, let's pray and ask God for help. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your mercy. We just ask for more this morning, that we may come to your words and that we may understand them more and grow to know you more and to follow your Son, Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. So as we come to Deuteronomy, it's important to know about the life of Moses. And as we get to this point, we're at the end of Moses' life. Now, Moses was originally chosen by God to lead the Israelites out of slavery in the land of Egypt. And he did this in a very memorable way. In the book of Exodus, we read about many miracles and signs that Moses did, proving that he was from God and forcing Pharaoh's hand into letting his people go. And as he parted the Red Sea, the Israelites escaped from slavery and moved their way onto Mount Sinai. And here on Mount Sinai, we have another very, very memorable event in the life of the Israelite community, where God gave them the Ten Commandments and created a covenant with the Israelite people. And through Moses, we see that he was appointed their prophet, and he was appointed the representative to go between God and his people and to bring the word of God to the people and to lead them. Well, after this account, the people then spent 40 years wandering the desert. Because of their constant disobedience and rejection of what God had to say through Moses, this generation forfeited their right to enter the promised land that was promised to them and their father through their father Abraham. So now we come to Deuteronomy, and it's 40 years since the covenant was made, and the generation is passing away. So if you now try and think of something that happened 40 years ago, so we're thinking around the 70s, maybe you can pick off big events such as the Vietnam War or the events of President Nixon's time in power. Or maybe you can remember some of the hits of the Beatles. I definitely can't do this, but I can tell you some things about this just because they are significant events in history. Well, similarly, the Israelites at this point, they couldn't remember what had happened on Mount Sinai, most of them. Most of them wouldn't know what happened in Egypt. And, well, they would know, but they weren't there and they couldn't remember it. But the older, possibly the older members were there. And Moses, of course, was there. And so same as us here today, maybe some of us, I won't point fingers, but some of us can remember what happened 40 years ago or in the world, but most of us cannot. And so that's where we come, that's the context of Deuteronomy. Moses is reminding the new generation of Israelites what had happened so long ago, what God had said and what God had done and what God had promised the people. And this was important for the new generation as they were about to enter the promised land. They were about to enter the land that God had promised them and live as a nation that were God's people. But Moses was not going to be there any longer. Moses too was not to enter the promised land. God had said that he too was not to enter. And so Moses, in his last address, as he last addresses the people, he reminds them of all the things that God had said through him. And he pleads with the people that they do not do the same as the generation before, who constantly disobeyed God and rejected his commands. But he pleads with them to hold on to the covenant and to hold on to the words of God and to hold fast to the truths that they had known from Mount Sinai. So this was what Moses' task was to do, and this is what he is doing in Deuteronomy. And so the first thing we'll see as we look at chapter 18 is that Moses says that the people are not to follow the nations around them, but they are to remember the law that God had given to them. And so if you look at verse 14, it's actually a summary of possibly a summary of the five verses beforehand. And he says to them that you are not to listen to the fortune tellers or the soothsayers or the diviners. You are not to listen to magicians or to people that practice sorcery, cast spells, or consult the dead. And this was a common practice, especially in the land of Canaan. This was a common practice for people of pagan nations to find their truth, or when they were in trouble, to find a way out of it, or to decide what to do next. If we look throughout the Old Testament, we can see that back in Egypt, this is what Pharaoh did when he was confronted with Moses doing many signs and wonders, proving that he was from God. He consulted his magicians or his fortune tellers to try and do the same and to imitate what Moses had done as well. Also, if we look at King Nebuchadnezzar, he also did the same. He consulted people to try and interpret his dreams and to try and consult dark forces to get answers for questions he had in his confusion. Moses tells the Israelites, however, that as they enter the promised land, they are not to do this. They are not to follow what the countries and the nations around them were doing, but to remember that the God of whom they are in covenant with. So as we look back to chapter 5 of Deuteronomy, we can see that this is the God who gave them the Ten Commandments. This is the God that wrote the way they are to live on two tablets of stone. And this is what Moses wanted the people to rely on. This is what Moses wanted the people to hold fast to. But as we look forward into the Israelites' entering of the Promised Land, we see that shortly after this, they break this command. Examples such as Manasseh and King Saul quickly revert to the practices of divination and to consulting mediums and people from the dead. They rejected God's word and they didn't trust God in times of trouble and in times of oppression, and they turned to other sources and they disobeyed this command of Moses. And we can see that this was a very frustrating thought for Moses. As we read in chapter 31, he knew this was going to happen. And Deuteronomy chapter 31 verse 27 says, "For I know how rebellious and stiff-necked people you are. If you have been rebellious against the Lord while I am still alive and with you, how much more will you rebel after I die?" See, Moses was telling the people to not go after the gods and not go after the practices of the pagan nations, but he still knew that they would. He knew that they had sinful hearts. He knew that this task was one that they could not keep. And if we look at chapter 18, if we look at the next verse, verse 15, sorry, I've jumped the gun a bit here. If we look at verse 15, he doesn't finish. Moses says that God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from the brothers, and it is him that you shall listen to. And it is just as you desired on the Lord, on the day of your Lord at Horeb, at Mount Sinai. So now we are starting to see what Moses knew that they weren't going to follow, but God still was going to be faithful to them. Moses reminds the people that God still promised to continue to send someone to lead them and to bring them the words of God. And this is the next thing we'll see as we go on, that God promised to be faithful even to the people, even when they were unfaithful. So if we go back to chapter 5 and verse 22 of Deuteronomy, this is Moses reminding the people of the Ten Commandments and how God gave it to them. And when God gave them the Ten Commandments, there was a blaze of fire, and all the leaders of the tribes and elders came to me, and they said, "The Lord our God has shown us his glory and his majesty, and we have heard the voice from the fire. Today we have seen that a person can live even if God speaks with them. But now, why should we die? This great fire will consume us, and we will die if we hear the voice of our Lord God any longer. For what mortal has heard the voice of the living God speaking out of fire as we have and survived? Go near and listen to all that the Lord our God says, and then tell us whatever the Lord God tells you, and we will listen and obey." So this is the response of the people after receiving the Ten Commandments. This was God giving his direct word to them, and they were scared. There was a blaze of fire, there was thunder and lightning, and it was a scary account. And the people do not want to hear the voice of God anymore. They ask Moses to go ahead of them. They ask Moses to go between them. They ask Moses to be their prophet and to be their leader. And so we can see that because of their sin, the people knew they couldn't be in the presence of God and live. Because of their sin and their inability to keep the laws, such as not consulting diviners and not consulting the dead in times of trouble, because they couldn't keep laws such as this one and such as the Ten Commandments, they knew they couldn't be in the presence of God any longer. And so they asked for Moses to be their prophet. They asked for Moses to go between them and God so they would not die. And this is important to note, because this is the context of Moses. This is what Moses was doing constantly with the people of Israel. He was going between them and God as a representative to continue their covenant and to continue to bring them the word of God, even though they were sinful and unworthy of being called God's people. And so as Moses comes to his death and as the people come to enter the land, he's letting the people know that another prophet is going to come, that God will raise up another one like me from among your brothers. And he is telling the people that they may listen to him. And graciously, God does this. And we can see this looking forward again into the Israelite future, that next he sends Joshua. And then after Joshua, we can see the judges. We can see Eli, Samuel, Nathan, Elijah, Elisha, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and many more prophets that were raised up to go between God and them, and that were raised up to bring the word of God to the people. And although the people continued to rebel, God continued to be faithful in this promise. God continued to send people to plead with the people to turn back to God and to remember his covenant with them and to trust in his words. God was continually faithful to an unfaithful nation. He was continually generous and patient to an undeserving people. While the people of Israel forgot the laws of God, God remembered his promises to them. And God remembered what he said to Moses at the mountain. God did not forget his promises. Well, as we continue to read, we can see that this, not only was this promise fulfilled in more prophets to the Israelite nation, we can see that this promise was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Raised up from among the people of Israel, Jesus was a prophet. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, Jesus himself claims, "Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but fulfill." So if we look back at the law and the prophets, we know that we're talking here about Moses and we're talking about Mount Sinai. Jesus said himself that he had come to maintain what God had said and to fulfill what God had done on the mountain. But how can we know that Jesus was a true prophet and not a false one? How can we know that Jesus was the fulfillment of this promise? Well, if we continue to read back in Deuteronomy, it says, "This is what you requested on the day of the Lord. Sorry, this is what you requested from the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly, when you said, 'Let us not continue to hear the voice of the Lord our God or see this great fire any longer, so that we will not die.' Then the Lord said, 'They have spoken well. I will raise up for a prophet. I will raise them up a prophet like you from among their brothers. I will put my words in his mouth, and I will tell him everything I command him. And he will tell them everything I command him. I will hold accountable whoever does not listen to him and to my words that he speaks in my name. But the prophet who dares to speak a message in my name that I have not commanded him to speak, or who speaks in the name of other gods, that prophet must die. You must say to yourself, 'How can we recognize a message that the Lord has not spoken?' When a prophet speaks in the Lord's name and the message does not come true or is not fulfilled, this message the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. Do not be afraid of him." So Moses poses this question to the people. He asks them, how are you going to know whether someone is a false prophet or a true prophet? How do they know that Jesus was the true prophet, was going to be the true prophet, or that Elijah was the true prophet, or that Joshua or any of the judges were a true prophet? Well, Moses also gives us the answer. Moses, and it's bluntly logical. Moses says that a true prophet will speak truth, that a true prophet, what he says will come true. So as we look to Jesus, again, we can see that he had the ability to prophesy things to come true. He prophesied his death and his resurrection 3 days later. And this is clearly displayed for us to read in all four Gospels. And Jesus also performed many great miracles and signs, such as calming storms and healing sicknesses, which is also like what Moses did in Egypt, proving that he too was sent from God to save his people. So we're starting to see a picture of how what Moses did and what Moses said God, and what the words that God told Moses were all pointing towards to Jesus. And of course we can see that Jesus was a greater fulfillment of Moses. Jesus did not only come to bring the words of God, but Jesus was God, and Jesus came to save people, just as Moses saved the Israelites out of Egypt. Hebrews 1 and 11 tells us that long ago and at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, Jesus. Jesus was the Son of God. Jesus was the fulfillment of this promise that another prophet is coming. And so as we look back at Deuteronomy and we see that the Israelites continually were sinning and could not keep God's commands, so they needed Moses to go between them, we can see that Jesus does the same thing for God's people today. Jesus is God's words to man without man dying. Jesus goes before us and takes the punishment for our sins. We need Jesus because we are a constantly sinful people. We are people that cannot keep the law of God that he has given us. We need Jesus to take the punishment for our sins. And in Acts chapter 3, the verse we read at the start of the service, starting at verse 18, we read what Peter says. Peter says, "But this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Messiah would suffer. Repent then and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord." So Peter is telling us that this was God's solution to the problem of sinful man. This was how God was going to forever reconcile God and man. This was how he was going to wipe away sins. And as you read on, it says that heaven must receive Jesus. So Jesus has gone back to heaven, but that God must restore everything that he has promised long ago through his holy prophets. For Moses said, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me among your own people, and you must listen to everything he tells you. Anyone who does not listen to him will be completely cut off from their people." So this is Peter, and he's directly quoting Deuteronomy here and saying that this is what Jesus does. This is what Jesus' purpose was on earth. He came down to earth and went between God and man and took the punishment that man deserves. He atoned for sins and created an everlasting covenant with man. John 3:16, a verse many of us will know, says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." This is what Moses looked forward to. This was what Moses' hope was in. Moses' hope was in the fact that God was going to send a prophet that was going to solve the sin of the Israelites. Jesus not only goes between us and God in a way like Moses did. Jesus allows us to come to God directly. Jesus allows us to have a covenant that will last forever. Jesus allows us to have eternal life with God because in him, our sins are forgiven. And in him, we have a covenant that can be kept as he kept the law fully. But Moses continues on and he has a warning that comes with this message. In verse 19, he says, "Whoever will not listen to the words of him who shall speak in my name, I myself will require it of him." Sorry, that was verse 19 of chapter 5. So chapter 5 of Deuteronomy, verse 19. Oh, sorry. No, this is chapter 20. Chapter 18. I'm totally lost. Verse 19, he says, "Whoever will not listen to my words that he shall speak in my name, I myself will require it of him." And this again takes the Israelites back to Mount Sinai. And he's saying that if you do not listen to my prophet, that you will end up face to face with the God of Mount Sinai. And you will be accountable to the God who gave them a set of laws that they could not keep. And that came in a great display of thunder, lightning, and a consuming fire. This was the punishment for those who do not listen to the prophet who is going to come like Moses. And this warning remains. And this warning continues if we reject what Jesus says, and if we reject the great prophet Jesus. If we continue to read in John 3 from verse 17, it says, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved. But whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe in him is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God." So this warning again stands from all the way from Deuteronomy. What Moses promised continued all the way through Jesus, and what Moses warns also continues through Jesus, that we are to listen to the prophets of God. We are to listen to Jesus, who goes between God and man. He has come to save us. He has come to solve the problem of sin. But if we reject him, then we are condemned, and then we must face God on our own merit, and we must face a God who punishes the sin of sinners and who punishes people who cannot keep his law, just as the Israelites could not. So to try and pull this all together and to close it up, I want us to try and think about today and to think about us as a church. Us as the church are not too dissimilar from the Israelites. We are God's people, and God has made a covenant with us through his Son, Jesus Christ. And this covenant we can enjoy here today through Jesus Christ as the one who goes between us and a just God. Us as sinners can come and approach God, and we can learn from him, and we can pray to him, and we can enjoy his community here at church through his Son, Jesus Christ. But we are still sinners, and we still are prone to neglect the word of God. And as we look at the society around us today, they are much like the society of what the Israelites had around them. The word of God is not the driving force behind our country. And it's not the driving force behind many countries and behind many societies here on the world today. Just as the countries around the Israelites followed after mediums and magicians and sorcery, society today does not consult God when it comes to solve its greatest problems, and does not consult God when it thinks about issues such as relationships, families, work, the purpose of life itself. We can see in our own country just recently how much the view of marriage and abortion and sexual purity has been so far removed from the Ten Commandments. And we can see how the opinion of the media and all the TV shows and movies we have access to have a radically different view than to that of the Ten Commandments that God gave at Mount Sinai. And as a church, we must be careful that these do not influence us, that we do not consult the ways of the world, that we do not consult the theories of the world, that we do not consult popular culture or popular theories that drive our society around us. But as God's people, we need to hold fast to his words. We need to hold fast to his covenant that he made with his people, an everlasting covenant that was promised from Moses and that Jesus came and fulfilled. We need to remember Moses' message to a sinful people, that they needed someone to go between them, but that God was going to provide that man to go between them. I hope we have seen that Jesus Christ today is that man for all of us. And he is the Son of God through whom we can come to God, and have forgiveness. And we can have an everlasting covenant through what he has done. I pray that as a church, and that each one of us continue to hold on to the words of God and his promises in his Son, Jesus Christ. And I'll do that now. I'll just pray for us. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your promises. We thank you for the promises to Abraham and to Moses, and we thank you for the promises in Jesus Christ, who came to fulfill all that the prophets had said. And we just pray that we continue to follow you, and we continue to hold fast to your promises, and continue to hold fast to your words. In Jesus' name, amen.